In 1936, a young man named Geoffrey Clifton had met a friend at Oxford who mentioned what we were doing. He contacted me, got married the next day, and 2 weeks later flew with his wife to Cairo. The couple entered our world, the four of us, Prince Kamal el-Din, Bel Urmashi, and Maddox. He met us in El Jof, north of Uwainet. He sat in his two-seater plane and we walked toward him from the base camp. He stood up in the cockpit and poured a drink out of his flask. His new wife sat beside him. "I named this site the Bir Mesaha Country Club," he announced. I watched the friendly uncertainty scattered across his wife's face, her lion-like hair when she pulled off the leather helmet. They were youth, felt like our children. They climbed out of the plane and shook hands with us. That was 1936, the beginning of our story. They jumped off the wing of the moth. Clifton walked towards us, holding out the flask, and we all sipped the warm alcohol. He was one for ceremonies. I don't think he loved the desert, but he had an affection for it that grew out of awe at our stark order, into which he wanted to fit himself, like a joyous undergraduate who respects silent behaviour in the library. We had not expected him to bring his wife, but we were, I suppose, courteous about it. She stood there while the sand collected in her mane of hair. What were we to this young couple? Some of us had written books about dune formation, the disappearance and reappearance of oases, the lost culture of deserts. We seemed to be interested only in things that could not be bought or sold, of no interest to the outside world. We argued about latitudes or about an event that had happened 700 years earlier. The Cliftons were on the last days of their honeymoon. I left them with the others and went to join a man in Kufra and spent many days with him trying out theories. I returned to the base camp at El Jof 3 nights later. The desert fire was between us, the Cliftons, Maddox, Bell, and myself. Catherine Clifton began to recite something, and my head was no longer in the halo of the camp's twig fire. There was classical blood in her face. Her parents were famous, apparently, in the world of legal history. I am a man who did not enjoy poetry until I heard a woman recite it to us. And in that desert she dragged her university days into our midst to describe the stars, the way Adam tenderly taught a woman with gracious metaphors. These, then, though unbeheld in deep of night, shine not in vain, nor think, though men were none, that heaven would want spectators, God want praise. Millions of spiritual creatures walk the earth unseen, both when we wake and when we sleep. All these with ceaseless praise his works behold, both day and night. How often from the steep of echoing hill or thicket have we heard celestial voices to the midnight air, soul or responsive, each to other's note, singing their great creator. That night I fell in love with a voice. Only a voice. I wanted to hear nothing more. I got up and walked away. A few months later she waltzed with me as we danced as a group in Cairo. Though slightly drunk, she wore an unconquerable face. Even now, the face I believe that most revealed her was the one she had that time when we were both half-drunk, not lovers.